In your Bible, please, John chapter 11, the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that the Bible is the personal, progressive revelation of Almighty God. Who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, and what He is yet to do. This revelation, the Bible, is all about Him. Not about you, not about me. It's all about Him. It's only about you and me as we relate to Him. By faith, we have life in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. This revelation is given to us in our English Bible in an Old Testament and a New Testament. And I've shared with you before that the Old Testament can be understood as the revealing of God, Almighty God, the I Am, in power. And the movements of the Old Testament take us from creation up until the proclaiming of the Promised One's coming. From creation to the promise of the coming One. God is revealed in power. When we arrive at the New Testament, the Promised One is here. God in person. In flesh, we now have revealed to us in a person the plan that God has provided for all to have a personal relationship with Him. As the New Testament unfolds, it begins with the Gospels. And the Gospels can be best understood with the word present. Old Testament, preparation. New Testament, present. He's here. He is here in flesh, in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we move out of the Gospels to the book of the Acts. And that book can be best understood by the word proclamation. There is now the proclaiming of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts moves us through that early time of proclaiming who and what Christ accomplished while He was here in the flesh. And that proclamation is powerful because it is energized by the person of God in His Holy Spirit within those who have personally received Christ as Savior. We then come to the epistles, the letters of the New Testament. And there, the best word that could give us the fullness of what is being revealed is particulars. The pieces of who this person is and the plan that He has brought to fruition is put together. We have no understanding of the details of who God is, what God has done, doing, and going to yet do, apart from the details, the particulars put together in the epistles, in the letters. And then, of course, we arrive at the book of the Revelation. Perfection. A crescendo. Bringing forth a climactic revelation of the person and plan of Almighty God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, we continue our study and series of this one who reveals himself in his word, God Almighty, who has revealed himself perfectly in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see again him revealed in the Pentateuch as the I Am, the eternally self-existing one. We've been looking at that over the last several weeks, seeing how this was, how God revealed himself to Moses. I am that I am, send you. The eternally self-existing one. And we moved from Exodus chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, into the Gospel of John. For there we have the eight dynamic declarations of the I Am. I am the bread of life. If you partake of me, you'll never hunger again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Before Abraham was, I am. We arrived at the 10th chapter of John, and we saw there two of these dynamic declarations. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And from there, we move to the 11th chapter and this dynamic declaration, which is coupled with a definitive demonstration. It's the only place in the Gospel of John that we have an I am being declared and demonstrated together. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, shall live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Dynamic declaration. Coupled with Lazarus, come forth. Loose him. Let him go. A definitive demonstration that he, Jesus, is in fact the eternal, self-existing one, the I Am. In this declaration and this demonstration of his being the resurrection, interestingly, Lazarus has been raised back to a body that he had naturally. It's a body that will continue to deteriorate, decay, die. That's the exact thing that happened when Jesus, seeing the widow mourning the death of her son there in Nain, raised that young lad back to a body that would deteriorate, that would die. Jairus, wanting to get to Jesus because he has a young daughter who's sick, she dies. And Jesus raises Jairus' daughter back to a body that is destined to deteriorate and die. But his resurrection and all of those who will follow in his resurrection is different. It's a resurrection of a glorified body, a body that will not decay, will not deteriorate, will not die. And so, this morning, once again, we're looking at this resurrection that Christ provides in and through himself. It is a resurrection different than any resurrection before. It is a resurrection unto a glorified body. The details of this resurrection, his resurrection unto a glorified body, and those who believe in him, their resurrection to a glorified body, are given to us in the epistles, and in particular in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the introduction to get us where we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, this is, of course, one of the epistles of Paul. I declare to you the good news, the gospel, the glad tidings which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain in that which is meaningless, that has no substance to it. The gospel, the glad tidings, the good news, the details concerning the Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection are now revealed to us. Come on over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This good news is the good news of God. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel of God. This is God's good news, which he promised before through the prophets. He has revealed prior to it now being perfectly revealed in his Son, this good news through the prophets, what was promised. There is one coming, the anointed, the Christ, the Savior of the world, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Old Testament. Preparation, the prophets, all that God revealed was in preparation for the promised one's coming. The good news is, he's here. He's come. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, he is here in human form. and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Here's God's good news. He's declaring that Christ, the promised one, has come. And he has come and been raised dynamically from the dead as a demonstration that all might recognize who he truly is. Look at verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son. This is the good news of God. It is the good news of God concerning his Son who came in the flesh, who was raised from the dead. Look at verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Before the foundation of the world, the master plan of Messiah, God's redemptive plan in the person and work of the Christ, was put in place. It is now being unfolded. It is this good news concerning the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. For in it, this good news, that is the good news of God, the good news concerning his Son, the good news of Christ. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God has put forth this plan before the foundation of the world and has now revealed it in flesh in the person of his Son, for the purpose of bringing forth faith in him. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This good news, which I preached to you, that you received, in which you stand, and that which brings you deliverance, salvation. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. This good news is divinely given, delivered. Went over to Paul's first epistle. We spent many a month, year, better, in Galatians. I'm reading from verse 6, chapter 1. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of the Messiah, the Anointed, the Christ, to a different good news, a heterodox one, one which is not the same as the one which you experience salvation through. You experience the grace of God through, which is not another of the same kind, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the good news, the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other heterodox, different good news, gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men. For if I now persuade men, I'm not pleasing God. Or if I do seek to please men, if I still please men, I would not be Christ's bondservant. But I make known to you, brethren, that the good news, the gospel of God, the gospel of his Son, the gospel of Christ which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. This good news is directly, divinely delivered. The good news. It's of God. It comes from God. It is directly, divinely delivered to you. 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received divinely, directly, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This good news concerns who, what, why, and how God has accomplished his purpose of redemption. I remember being in a meeting many years ago. We had the privilege of being involved in helping establish two churches in Tallahassee. And we had an evangelist who was brought in to help accomplish that ministry. And I remember him preaching, and in his message, he made this statement: I've preached enough gospel this evening to have the whole world saved. Now, I have had knee-jerk reactions to many preachers before, but my knee-jerk reaction almost brought about, and I was leading the service, my jumping up and responding, "No, you haven't." He had faithfully declared the death of Christ, his substitutionary death, taking upon himself our sin. But he had never mentioned once the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without the resurrection, excuse the English, there ain't no good news. The good news is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he arose from the dead. No resurrection, no good news. The gospel then tells us who and what and why and how salvation is provided for God's creation. The who? Christ. Run over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" All of the Old Testament was preparation for the promised one. Are you the promised one? Are you the one, the Christ? He wanted a confirmation of his conviction. Come on over to John's Gospel again, the first chapter, John chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold," fix your attention on, "behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This was a prophetic pronouncement beyond John's full comprehension. "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples looking at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John's conviction, back in Matthew chapter 11, he once confirmed by the Christ himself. He sends two of his disciples. Are you the one, the coming one, or do we look for another? Confirm my conviction. Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and tell John the things which you hear," what he has been declaring, "what you see," what he's been demonstrating. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the glad tidings, the good news, the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Go back and tell John his conviction is confirmed. He can stand firm in that conviction. Look at Luke, the fourth chapter. Reading from verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Christ, the Anointed One. Because he has anointed me to preach the glad tidings, the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I have come, the anointed, declaring and demonstrating who I am." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the eyes, those who were in the synagogue, were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." Went over to John's Gospel. once again, this time the third chapter. Verse 26. And they came to John and said, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy is mine, fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm not the Christ. I've been sent before him. He must increase. I must decrease. As you know, I've shared with you before my personal testimony. Coming out of two secular universities, going to school simply to play football, having come to know Christ as personal Savior and knowing at that very moment that God had called me to preach, I found myself enrolled in a Bible college, Philadelphia College of Bible. At the end of those 4 years, we had to have our picture taken for the yearbook. And so upstairs they had a photographer, and we went up to the top floor, and they were taking the pictures of all the seniors. After your picture was taken, the photographer asked a question. What is your life first? Because we're going to put it under the picture. Life's first. I hadn't really given any thought to a life's verse. Now, I was there with some other students, and immediately, of course, when they were asked that question, they had their favorite and their life's verse on their tongue, and they shared it quickly. I'm dead in the water here. Life's verse. What significant scripture should be under my picture for graduating from Philadelphia College of Bible? And for whatever reason, I trust guided by the Spirit of God, but I know one of the reasons, it was one of the shortest and simplest verses that I had committed to memory. I said, he must increase, and I must decrease. It's been 60 years of ministry. That God is still trying to teach me what it means for him to increase and for me to decrease. John got it. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen, he has heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. John said, when you see the Spirit of God descend upon and stay, that's him. That's the anointed. That's the promised one. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 4, look at verse 39. Jesus has been with the woman at the well, and then the other there of the Samaritans have come. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all things that ever I did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he did. He stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the anointed, the Savior of the world." John chapter 7. Verse 25. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is this not he who they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Messiah comes, no one knows where he is from." Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, "You both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, "When the Christ comes, when the anointed one, the promised one comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done?" Look at verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ, the anointed, the promised one." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Yeah, they thought they knew who he was and where he came from. He came out of Bethlehem, out of the seed of David. So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Back to where we began this morning, John chapter 11. You'll remember Martha now is meeting with Christ. Verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he'll rise in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. This morning, we began to look at the details of the one who has declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Who has demonstrated, I am the resurrection and the life. And now we begin to see the details, the pieces of the prophetic plan of God put together in the good news, the gospel. And it begins with Christ, who is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the promised one. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. The one of whom the master plan is now being unfolded. There is none other than God in flesh, the Christ, the resurrection, in whom we must place our faith in order to have life eternal. Thank you, Lord, as we continue to look under the guidance of your Spirit into the details of who, what, why, and how our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided for us resurrection life to the glory of God, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.